Good morning, friends. To those worshiping in Minnetonka, Woodside, those online here in our worship center in Chanhassen, welcome. Glad we could be together on this special day. It's a significant day. And in a moment, you're going to be hearing really an outstanding message from Pastor Brian that is part of our annual journey here. I'm real excited for you to hear the message today. But before so, I thought I'd explain why I have this tribe up here with me. And thank you for being here, all of you. And it's a gift because God is answering prayer. And that's why they're here. And let me take you to the words of Jesus, who says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That part of what it means to be a Christ follower is to be his sent ones, all of us. It means that we get to be the blessers of people on the face of the earth, that we get to go and bring the beautiful story of Jesus' name into the lives of people who are longing to know they can belong to God. And so here over the last couple of years, we're really raising the bar of what that looks like for us personally in our lives and collectively as the church. And so we cast a vision last February and March called 10-10-10. For those who are guests, I can't unpack each of the 10, but the first 10 is that by God's power, we would avail ourselves to plant 10 churches or multi-sites or micro-sites in our spheres of influence. And in so doing, invite people to be part of knowing the story of God in that. And that was in February and March. And I can't tell you all that's happened. It's so amazing. And the number of people have just risen up and said, I want to be part of that and sacrifice so much so that on Thanksgiving weekend in two Sundays, we are going to open up our first 24/7 multi-site called Bush Lake Campus off of 494 and Bush Lake Road. And they're just finishing the construction build out of the space and they're getting ready to go. This is a day of answered prayer. We want to take a few moments and dedicate those who are being sent to go. And I'll explain that in just a moment. If you're interested in going yourself, you still are welcome to. You can go visit on the 25th. Campus pastor Zach Bush has no correlation to Bush Lake Road. He did not name the road. It's all circumstantial to that end. But perhaps a divine appointment. We believe God has called you to lead and to serve to that end. And Zach has been given profound teaching gifts. He'll be teaching here in Chanhassen in a continuous way, but giving leadership at that campus as well. And we, over the last 2 years, have just raised the bar around three invitations. The first is take a next step to grow your faith. That's for all of us in your life, wherever you are, let God meet you there and then grow you from that given place. Just take a next step. Secondly, to walk across the room and share your faith. We're all called to do that in our own spheres of influence. And then third, to open our hands to share unprecedented amounts of mercy with those in need, because Jesus comes to us through those in need. And as we do that, we meet felt needs, spiritual needs get met. So as a church, and personally, we're all raising the bar, but today we have the privilege of sending some, not just to walk across the room, but to drive across the freeways to go into Bloomington and to launch our next multi-site. And so who is with me on this? Who's this tribe? First of all, they are the staff. So we're almost fully staffed, just one person yet to fill the position for student ministry. I put their names on the screen. You get an idea. God has been at work these last months to bring a really solid team together with our staff. Then we have lay leaders, and I asked if I could put their names on the screen, but there were so many names, I go, I can't do that. But many of the ministry area leaders are here representing those who are even in our church families in Minnetonka and Woodside that are actually going. And so they're here. We ask them to come and represent them. And then there's pastors and directors. I'm going to invite you to lay your hands on those that are around you, pastors, directors, and board members. And as leaders of Westwood, we want to send them out with blessing, God's blessing, your blessing, and go, this is a day of answered prayer. So would you stand and join us? I'm going to offer the first prayer, and then I've written a little prayer of blessing that you get to speak into their lives as they go. Would you join me? Father God, thank you for being ascending God, for revealing to us the beauty of your Son, Jesus the Christ. What a gift to touch and change our lives in such profound ways. To the end, then, you would choose us to be sent out as well, to go tell of the name that has so changed us. And we want to do that personally in our lives, but collectively as well. So we have this team who are being sent out, and we ask your blessing upon them, their families, prosper them, but especially use them to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. Might we worship to the end that it would be so authentic as it gets expressed into that Bush Lake, Bloomington, Richfield, Edina, Eden Prairie region, that people would be compelled to know the love that's gathered in that given space. Might we belong to you in such a way that people would be compelled to want to belong to you as we've come to understand in our connection with each other what you are doing in our midst. Might we serve well. I pray for each one here that they would serve by having eyes that see and that they'd have ears that hear, that they would have hands that would reach true felt needs of people, that would open the souls to salvation. And Father, that we might go. And here represented in our body are potentially hundreds that will be sent from this site into Bush Lake and from Minnetonka and from Woodside. We just pray, Father, that you would, with the wind of your Holy Spirit, send them with grace, with strength, with confidence, but especially with love. Might they represent the love of Christ in their going, their serving, in their worship, in their belonging. And we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you share words of blessing for them as well? Say with me, we love you, we bless you, we thank you, we send you, and now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in saying thank you to them as they find their seats and as you find yours as well? We give praise to God what he's doing, great and mighty things, and we celebrate that together.
Seated. Good morning, everybody. I had to go through some traffic to get here. Dad joke. This is a special day. We've sent out this campus, and they're really going to begin the forefront of our next campus ministry. And it's a special day in addition to that because we have a unique message today that's on adoption. Right now, there are many who have adoption on their hearts, particularly at this time of year. November is National Adoption Awareness Month. Friday was World Adoption Day. You may have seen people post online pictures of themselves with their palms facing out and little smiley faces in there as a symbol and celebration of the act of adoption. Today is Orphan Sunday, in which churches all over the world are uniting around the cause of the most vulnerable, the orphan, the children in this world. And it's so great that we have many organizations that are championing these causes so that our awareness is raised. And we're thankful for that. And it's all because of God. Because when you look at the story in the scripture, when you hear God's heart for the orphan and the vulnerable, you recognize real quick, every day is Orphan Day for God. There's no special set apart days because of his heart, and it's a beautiful thing. The plight of vulnerable children is a unique and constant concern for God. And he calls his people, always has since the creation of the world, into joining him to reach those most vulnerable. And Westwood Community Church, we want to be a part of that. Last year, Pastor Joel inaugurated this conversation in which we are praying, hoping, and trusting for 10 families or more families to step forward and adopt or foster children. And what I want to do at the end of our message is a couple things. I want to give you an update, and then I want to give you an invitation so that we can all respond, because this is a message that is for all of us. Today, we'll hear about God's heart for the orphan. We'll step into the compelling truth that in Jesus Christ, we are all adopted. It's the gospel. It's something that we're invited to receive, but then as a result of receiving it, we're invited to live it out and go find people that God is looking for. So I want to invite you to take out your teaching notes and read along with me in this scripture passage from Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul writes, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir." Adoption is a beautiful and vital aspect to the whole of the picture of salvation. We are all adopted. There are words that throughout church history we've leaned on that help to build out the weight and the profound nature of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. There's words like justification, which essentially means to be made right with God when we receive Jesus. there's a word like sanctification, which essentially points to our spiritual growth, that every day we get to be a little better at being and living like Jesus. There's glorification, which is an eternal promise that one day we will be with God and we will be set perfect again. And amongst others, there's the word adoption, which provides a significant weight to us understanding what we've received in Christ when we choose him. It builds out the impact of what God has done in saving us in order that we can live it out in the way that he would intend for us. So I want to ask a big question for the majority of my message, and that is this: what do we receive in God adopting us? What do we receive? The first thing that we receive is a secure identity. We are God's children. To be a human being means that we are born looking for someone who's looking for us. And that quest is lifelong, and at certain seasons or places or ages in our life, that quest erupts into two profound questions. Who am I? But more importantly, whose am I? Who do I belong to? Without an answer to that question, we can go in all kinds of unhelpful directions. But every little boy, every little girl, every grown woman, and every grown man, what we read in the scripture is that we have all been redeemed at a high price, purchased back. And that phrase, adoption to sonship, is taken out of that original language. It's one word in the original language, which intends to communicate that God has inaugurated a ratification process in which we are established in a parent and child relationship with him, and it is sure as the sun that rises in the east and sets in the west. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. To be human means that we are born looking for someone who's looking for us, and when those questions rise to a fever pitch, who am I and whose am I, God shouts from the rooftops, the answer is in me. 1 John 3:1 says, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And the author adds a little emphasis. It's a two-sentence verse, and the second sentence is this, and that is what we are, exclamation point. There's a point being communicated in that that we're invited to receive, that we have a secure identity that will never fail us. What we do and what we choose come directly out of who we believe that we are, and it's not the inverse. And the most fundamental and important part of what it means to be human is that we are seen as God's children. We are children of God in Jesus Christ. We are known. We are loved. We are seen. We are received. And we are secure, and that is forever. And by the way, it's not based in the conditions of your behavior. Thank God. The Father's posture of his heart towards you is not based on your posture towards him every day. It simply is that you are God's child, you are God's son, and you are God's daughter. And that identity is secure. It will never change. So practically speaking, what in your life would change if you allowed that in just a little bit further today than when you started? If you received that secure identity to be the most foundational thing about you just a little further into your life and soul, what would practically change? The next that we receive is an affectionate relationship with God. And to draw out the comparison, the text today really speaks to this. In the verse that precedes the section in Galatians that we just read, verse 3, Paul writes these words, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of this world. What does that mean? We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to brokenness. We were slaves to fear, as we sang this morning. We were slaves to the darkness, but thank God he doesn't leave us there. God has moved us out of slavery and out of fear and out of darkness into something so much more profound that's summarized in one word in this text, and it's Abba. Now, for those of you who may be new to faith or are new to this concept that has nothing to do with 1970s Swedish pop music, it's a word that Jesus himself used in Aramaic. That was the language that he spoke. And the word appropriately translated from that language into English, the only sufficient translation is daddy. To capture the affection of the relationship that we have with God. My kids call me daddy, and I gotta tell you, that pulls on my heart like nothing else does. There's an affection that God has brought us into. Daddy or Papa, before Jesus, by the way, no one had the right nor dared to refer to God with such affectionate terms. But again, Galatians 4:6, because you are his sons and daughters, the Spirit cries out, Abba, from within you on your behalf. We have been adopted. We have been brought into an affectionate relationship with the Most High God. I want to say this really directly to some of us because we need to hear it today. And that is this. Faith is not a religious transaction. Faith in Jesus is an affectionate relationship with the God of the universe. Amen? There's a fundamental difference when you receive his grace, which looks at you and says, there's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing that you can do to make me love you less. It's an affectionate walk with the Most High God, and it's incredibly profound. Eugene Peterson captures this affection very adequately and profoundly in Romans 8:15 in the Message translation that he has left us with. These words read, this resurrection life that you receive from God is not a timid grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. We are brought into an affectionate relationship with God, from fear to affection, from isolation into intimacy, from loneliness to wholeness. We are born looking for someone who's looking for us, and the one who is seeking and seeking and seeking until we say yes is this affectionate Father in heaven that will never stop coming for you. Receive that today. That's the profound weight of salvation, to be adopted in Christ. That's what that means. If you remembered that a little bit more, or if you received that just a little bit further into your journey, your heart, and your soul, what would practically change for you? If you woke up with the first thought on your mind that you have an affectionate Papa that sees you as you are and loves you that way, what would change? Perhaps a lot. The third that we receive is a full inheritance. Here's the words again. You are no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Now, in the ancient context that Paul wrote, children really had no privileges. They were essentially treated with the same status as slaves. No rights, no freedoms or inheritances to be expected until they came of age. So that is why Paul's message in Galatians here is so profound for that ancient context. God adopting us as his children means that we are full heirs to the inheritance that he set for us. God adopting you does not mean that you are just simply a guest. God adopting you does not mean that you are a project of his benevolence. God adopting you does not mean that you're just temporarily with him until you can get back up on your feet again. God adopting you means that for eternity, you are an heir to an inheritance that is more than anything we can all imagine. In God adopting you, you are fully receiving what you did not have access to. It's like an adoptive parent bringing a child legally into their home and saying these words to them, all that I have is now fully yours. And it's the same thing for God to us as he looks at us. And by the way, here's the description of what this inheritance is. 1 Peter 1:4, it's an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. It's something that we can trust we will receive in full one day, but it's something that we live in right now. And it's internal, full security. So what would shift in you today? What would shift in you today if you allowed that profound truth to soak just a little further into your heart, that you are an heir to God's eternal inheritance? We are born looking for someone who is looking for us, and the one who's doing the best search is our Heavenly Father. And when we receive Jesus, we are adopted into his family. We have a secured identity. We are his children. We enjoy an affectionate relationship with the God of the universe. And we have a full inheritance that's coming our way. Adoption is a beautiful and vital facet to salvation that can help us to understand the weight of what Jesus has done. So first, we can receive it. And then like everything else in the kingdom of God, we can live it out. And we can join God's heart for the orphan, and in so doing, live out this vital aspect of the gospel. God's heart is for the orphan, and he makes it very clear that the most vulnerable are on his heart throughout the whole arc of his story. And since the beginning of the world, he has called his people into reaching the most vulnerable, especially the orphan. There's a particular place of importance that the orphan has in the heart of God. Here's just a few examples from the scriptures. Exodus chapter 22, you must not exploit an orphan. Psalm 146, he cares for the orphan and the widow. James 1:27, pure religion, pure living out of our faith is caring for the fatherless. And Isaiah 1:17, learn to do good, seek justice, defend the cause of the orphans, fight for the rights of widows. God's heart is clear. And by the way, the church has a heritage since its very beginnings of leading into this very thing. Let me share a little bit of church history with you. In first century Rome, when this movement was getting started, a common practice for families was if they had a child that they did not desire, perhaps that child was sick, perhaps that child was a financial burden, perhaps that child were disabled, or very unfortunately, simply because if the baby was a girl in that time that girls were not valued, a family could take that infant and leave it on a hillside and expose it to the elements, ultimately allowing it to die. Early Christian writers began to speak out against this practice, but it wasn't just words for them, it was action. The early church began to send search parties out to the common places where this was done, and the followers of Jesus in the inaugural moments of this movement found these children that had been abandoned, left to die, adopted them into their families, and that is one of the first markers of the church which set it apart from the darkness that surrounded it. Friends, we ride on the shoulders of followers of Jesus who have said, God, give me your heart for the orphans and the vulnerable in this world and let me do something about it. We ride on their shoulders. The opportunity was there and the opportunity is still in front of us. Currently, there's an estimated 140 million orphans around the globe today. And to bring that more local, there are around 10,000 kids in foster care in the state of Minnesota, 1,000 of whom are awaiting adoption and need to be adopted. More than one-third of American families have seriously considered adopting a child, and 2% have, and it's a beautiful thing. The opportunity to move forward with God's heart is right in front of us, and it's a calling that applies to every single one of us, because when we adopt, when people adopt humans, we live out that vital aspect of the gospel which says you are adopted to be a child of the Most High God. And the impact of the stories of when adoption happens and God uses adoption are quite profound. And I'm very pleased to say that we have one of those stories here to be shared with us today. And I want to invite Amber Dahlman to come up to the stage to join me. Amber and her family recently moved here from Arizona. Amber's married to Justin. They have 3 kids, and they immediately jumped in as soon after arriving here at Westwood. They've become members, they're small group leaders, and Amber's story has to do with adoption, and it's a beautiful one, and I know that it will touch your heart. Would you join me in welcoming Amber Dahlman? Amber, start just by sharing what your early childhood was like.
Yeah, my early childhood was pretty dysfunctional. I was raised by my mom. She was a single mom to my brother, myself, and my sister. And most of my life, my mom struggled with addictions to drugs and to men. She tended to jump from relationship to relationship, and a lot of the men that she dated were pretty broken themselves. A lot of them had drug addictions, some were drug dealers. And because of that, you know, we were just exposed to a lot of things that most little kids shouldn't be exposed to. There was a lot of violence, a lot of abuse, a lot of neglect, and just a lot of dysfunction.
Yeah. And you've shared with me that when you turned 8 years old, that really kind of pitched.
Yeah.
What was going on at that point in your life?
When I was 8, my mom had my little sister, and the man that she was with at the time was a drug dealer and was just really bad news. And that's kind of when she just dove deep into crystal meth. And over the course of that next year, there was just a lot of neglect, a lot of just hurt. They weren't around a lot, and even when they were home, they weren't really home. So after about a year of that, CPS got involved and decided to remove us from the home. Me, my brother, and my sister were all separated. And over the course of the next 3 years, I was placed in about 10 different homes between family members, friends of family, shelters, group homes, foster families, just a lot of bouncing around.
And in the midst of those families, you've also shared how God was at work in the midst of those families and what he did for you. So talk about your faith journey and how it unfolded as you went from home to home.
Yeah, so I obviously wasn't really exposed to church, but due to my mom's situation, I spent a lot of time with my grandma, and just from a young age, she kind of instilled in me the power of prayer, and she would just pray with me before bedtime, she would pray with me when I was scared, and I kind of just carried that along with me throughout my journey. And I was also super fortunate because a lot of the homes that I was placed in were actually Christian based or had some sort of a Christian affiliation. So I was really fortunate.
Wow. So you're starting to see God work, and God's working through your grandma, and then eventually things change for you. You receive Christ. What were the circumstances that led to that moment?
There were two homes in particular. One of them was a group home, and the group home had a group of ladies that would come and do a Bible study with us weekly and just love on us, pray with us, encourage us. And that was kind of the first time I remember feeling the presence of God and feeling that hope. The second home was a Spanish-speaking foster home that I was placed in, and they attended a Spanish-speaking church that sometimes had a English interpreter.
Sometimes,
yes. And so we were at church all the time, and that was really my first time being exposed to church and just being surrounded by people who loved Jesus. And I wanted that. I wanted that hope that they had, and it was actually in that home that I accepted Jesus into my life and was baptized in a pool.
Wow. So eventually, as you've shared with me, your journey would continue. And at age 12, you were brought to a family and everything changed.
Yes.
What happened?
When I was 12, I was actually sent to Texas, and the plan was for me to be adopted by a great aunt and uncle. And after about 6 months, they decided they no longer wanted to move forward with the adoption. And I was sent back to Arizona by myself and put in just a temporary placement. Go back a little bit. My brother at the time, while I was in and out of different homes, he was actually in and out of juvenile detention centers and was eventually placed in basically like a rehabilitation center for boys. And he had kind of connected with the nurse staff there. And it happened to be that she was Christian and loved Jesus, super strong believer. And her and her family, through prayer, decided to have my brother come and move in with them and be a part of their family. So now fast forward, I'm back in Arizona. They got wind of that and decided just to let me come stay with them so I wasn't in just a temporary home, just until CPS had found a more permanent placement for me.
Wow. That never happened.
Yeah.
Because God was working on them too. What did they choose and what influenced them to make that choice?
Yeah, so after about a couple months of being there and falling in love with them and them, I think, falling in love with me, there was a meeting basically just to go over the potential permanent placements that they had for me, that CPS had. And it turned out there was no one wanted to adopt a 12-year-old. Mm. And it was at the end of the meeting that my dad, my foster dad at the time, stepped up and said, "She's not going anywhere. She's staying right here."
Wow.
And my mom always tells everyone that I've always been her daughter. God just brought me to her differently than her biological children. And that she wished God would have brought me to her sooner, but I've always been her daughter nonetheless.
Wow, that's incredibly powerful. I love those words that your father said, "She's not going anywhere."
Mm-hmm.
I know that we could probably be here for quite a while for my next question, but if you could sum up, what impact have your parents had on you?
My parents have completely changed my life, and you know, they took me in when I was 12. They knew everything that I had been exposed to, all of the trauma that I had. They knew that I could potentially follow the same footsteps as my biological mom. And despite all of that, they knew everything and they loved me. And that was the first time I really experienced that, of being known and being loved. And because of that, they changed the trajectory of my life. They basically rewrote my story and gave me a shot at life.
Wow. We've been saying we're born looking for someone who's looking for us. We know that the ultimate person who's searching is God our Father. As you look back in retrospect, how did God use people to find you?
So when I was little, I remember praying for my biological dad to kind of come in and rescue me and rescue my family. And when he finally did come into my life for a brief period when I was 8, it turned out he was no rescuer. He was actually pretty bad. And it's easy to think that God didn't hear my prayers or he didn't answer them. But now looking back, I see that God has answered them 10 times bigger than I could have ever hoped for. God's given me my adopted dad, who literally is just amazing, such a great dad and so protective, almost to a fault. God's given me my husband, who literally has only wanted to be a husband and dad himself due to his own story. God's given me my children, that I get to see that daddy-daughter relationship that I always wanted as a little girl, and get to see my boys grow up, that I hopefully will get to help raise, be good, godly dads themselves. So ultimately, I just see that God is what I was searching for when through that prayer, and ultimately, he's the one who rescued me.
Wow, wow. Thank you for saying that. And you are such a wonderful example of what God does when we move into his heart in terms of how he's reached you. And we're so grateful that you've shared your story with us today. Would you join me in thanking Amber for sharing? Wow. The opportunity is there. There are people, children, who woke up this morning looking for someone who's looking for them. And we have a God who's leading that search party, and he's looking for his people. And we believe Westwood is called to be a part of this movement of adoption and fostering. Last year, as I said, Pastor Joel introduced this topic to our faith community, and we are believing and trusting and hoping for 10 families who will step forward, probably maybe even more, to either adopt or foster. I want to share with you an update, and then I want to share an invitation. Just a few things to update. First of all, this is a seed planting message. This is a seed that God may sow in your heart, that over time, as you prayerfully respond to him, that he may move you in and may move others in. But since last year, there have been 15 families who have indicated interest to learn more about adoption or foster care, some of whom are already well into the process of doing just that. There are 30 families or individuals who have reached out for connection or have indicated that their lives in some sort of a way have been touched by adoption or foster care or caring for vulnerable kids. And over the last 18 months, 2 babies have come home to their forever families here at Westwood, and we've dedicated those children here at our church. And with that, we say we eagerly anticipate more as God leads us. Again, this is a seed planting message. Over time, we're believing God to call families into this step. But I want to say this, not all are called to adopt. Not all are called to provide foster care. But some are. Some of us are called. Last week, Pastor Zach Bush gave a fantastic message about what it looks like to worship with our lives. And amongst many things that he said that were profound, one of the things that he brought forth was this. When we worship with our lives, our internal values become externally visible. So as we're the called out ones, the church, we want to make our internal heart that we're trying to join with God to care for the orphan not just internal, but visible. And there's many ways that we can do that. And I want to give you an opportunity to consider, what is your best next step based on what you're feeling and sensing God nudging you in? First, all are called to be concerned with God for the plight of the orphan. As we read the scriptures, it's not optional. What can we all do? We can all pray. And we're all called to pray. We're called to pray with God's heart, with his eyes for the world. And we can ask God to meet their needs. We can ask God to send them people. We can ask God to send them foster families like the families that came into Amber's life. We can ask God to send adoptive families. We can ask God to meet them and reach their needs, and he will move. Secondly, and I believe this to be true, some of us listening today are called to adopt children. Some of us listening today are called to foster children. And some of us listening today are called by God to potentially temporarily host children in your home who are in a vulnerable situation in order to keep those families of origins together. I want to say this, if in you right now is a stirring that you cannot deny, don't discount that, because God is speaking, and there's a probability that it's his voice leading you towards something to take the next step in. What is the best next step for you? Believing and trusting that God is speaking, and yet this is a seed planting message. I'll get to that in just a moment. We can all pray. Some are called to take this major, amazing, beautiful, and yes, very difficult step. God will give us all that we need. And then thirdly, some of us are called to support those who do adopt, who do foster, and who do host. Some of you are in groups here at Westwood, small groups. Maybe some of you listening today are group leaders, and you've been asking your group, how can we serve? There's a great opportunity to come alongside of adoptive and foster families at Westwood to serve the needs, to pray for them, and to tangibly provide in ways that you can discover. For some of us, you may be an individual or a family that would like to do the same exact thing, to support those families on the front lines of this. And I feel like God has been prompting me with this last one, and I need to say this. For some of you, and I've actually heard from some in this morning. For some of you, you have adopted children who are now adults and are out on their own and are out of your home. And if that's you, there is wisdom in you that God wants to use in the life of families who are behind you and are coming up in this way. What could that look like? I don't know, but God does. The best thing that we can do is just take the next faithful step to make our internal heart, as we join in with God, externally visible for impact for the world and whatever that may be. And so wherever you are, if you feel stirred, if you feel touched by this topic, if this is part of your story, I want to give you a bold invitation to come back here this coming Thursday night for what we're calling an adoption panel. Details are in your program. We want to ask you to register in advance so that we can prepare well for you on Thursday night. It starts at 6:30. And the goal of this gathering is to provide a safe and fun place to gain information, connection, support, and community for those who are looking to adopt, foster, or host, or those potentially who have already stepped in. The panel members that will be a part of this interview will be adoptive parents, foster parents, parents who have hosted, professionals working in foster care and adoption, and we're going to get an opportunity to hear more of Amber's story, as there's lots more that she could share that will make an impact on all of us. So please come if you feel stirred by this, in whatever way that may be, knowing that God is trustworthy of the result of what that looks like for you. I do want to say this too. If you want to come on Thursday night, but you're just not able to make it, would you please stop at the info spot today and just indicate to some leaders there that you're interested in joining this movement here at Westwood? Because there's things within you that are getting stirred up that we want to make available for God and what he wants to do. Wherever we may be at, we're all called, because we are born looking for someone who's looking for us. And our Heavenly Father, our Abba, our Daddy, our Papa, is the one who is seeking and seeking and seeking and will never stop until we receive adoption to become children of God. You are the beloved sons and you are the beloved daughters of the Most High God, and there is nothing that will ever change that. So as you receive it, let's be the people that will go out and live it. Would you stand with me as we ask for God's help to do so as a community? Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you We thank you, God, for this day. To be alive means that we get to be with you. That's your promise. You're always there. And we thank you, God, for your heart. Your heart is so good. And as we've reheard or maybe even heard for the first time, your heart cares for the vulnerable and your heart cares for the orphan. Father, in this world are many people, many children who have woken up today wondering that very question. Who's looking for me? We know you're searching. And God, in a way that is unique to each of us, with our open hands and hearts, we want to be a part of the search party. And so God, give us all that we need in order to faithfully step into this movement. For those, God, here in our church, who adoption is a part of their story, fostering is a part of their story, maybe even actively now, we lift them up as a community to you. We ask that you would bless them. We ask that you would pour out your mercy and your grace and your wisdom and your courage and your strength. We ask for where there is woundedness or pain or hurts from the journey, that you would bind up their wounds and care with your love, God. Pour out your spirit upon those families. And Father, we are your children and we receive that as such. May it go a little deeper today so that we can live it out a little bit more fully for you today. God, we bring all of these things to you, knowing that you hear it all. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.